your Mets calls here on the table. A couple things from last night. Number one, Clay Holmes is a five-inning pitcher. I understand trying to push him last night. You know, the starters aren't back yet, meaning Senga and Manaea, they'll come back this week. So Mendy may be trying to figure out if he can push Clay Holmes through that sixth inning. He's already surpassed his career high in innings. We know he's a converted reliever to be a starter. For me, at this point, BT, five innings and done. Anytime Clay Holmes takes him out, you got to keep him stretch. You got to keep him fresh for the stretch run of the season and then the postseason. I would not push Clay Holmes beyond five innings anymore if I'm the Mets. Five and dive, and that's it.
I mean, I wouldn't do that if he's economical. I wouldn't be married to that five inning benchmark. Like, but you know that when that first laborious inning really pops up, then you know it's going to be a quick night. I might actually do something different. I might just skip him two or three turns. I really might shut him down for a couple weeks.
I don't know how that would impact him, and I don't know if I would do that if there's not a need to do it. But even last night, see, that's what I mean. Like, it was a low pitch count. He was in the 80s or high 70s, whatever it was, when it started the sixth inning. So it wasn't that, but you could see right away he hit the guy. Like, he just get him out of the game, didn't have it.
Yep.
But again, I understand experimental phase stuff. Like, hey, let's see if we could push him through the sixth inning here. I would not do it. I'd want to keep him fresh, make him a five-inning pitcher. I'd rather a great five innings than get the length of Holmes, especially knowing now that you're getting Senga and Manaea back in that rotation where you shouldn't need that from Holmes. And I want to keep him fresh, dude. There's no need to push it. It's the up-downs that are the issue to me, not the amount of pitches that are being thrown.
Well, but here's the thing, though. You said you want the great five innings. I'm not so sure you're going to get five great innings if you just keep rolling him out there every 5 days. He's already 35 innings past what he did a year ago.
All right, but he had great five innings last night.
No, and I understand that, but it's still also July 9th here. I've got to save him. You want the five great innings. Heck, I mean, in the postseason, the way bullpens are used and deployed, you'd even take like four to third really good innings against a good team. And then you just got to piece things together, and you're going to have to get another bullpen arm to do that because Diaz is great, and obviously you got some other pieces down there. But I don't even know if you're going to be able to get those quality innings to start that you're hoping for now. I mean, there is a long way. Sal, he's projected to throw 75 innings over what he did a year ago.
Yeah, but obviously this had to come into their planning, right? Now, does that mean, were they going to go to a six-man rotation at some point?
They were early in the season.
So maybe that's part of the plan, and maybe they do get another arm or whatever. When Tyler or McGill comes back, okay, then they could go to a six-man rotation, keep everybody fresh, Senga and Holmes specifically. But at bare minimum, I would not go any more than five innings with Clay Holmes. Like, what's the reason for trying to push him through the six last night?
No reason for that.
Okay, but I understand it because, hey, the pen has been overworked. Hey, he's been on fire. Hey, the pitch count is low. Let's see what he could do. But to me, it would be more like, I liked what they did against the Rays, even though people complained about that. And I think it was against the Braves after that, where Holmes came out of these games a little bit earlier than a normal.
Remember, it was
start.
The Colorado start where he said he'd recover.
Yeah, well,
that
he
was
didn't.
Kind of, I know. It was so the residue from that.
Correct. And then in the Rays series, so they took him out early, and then the Mets imploded that Friday night, and then they never really recovered. That set them into the tailspin. But I would rather that. I'd rather them be cautious and be aggressive in getting him out than push him. To your point, like, I wouldn't skip him starts, but I'd rather that than start seeing if he can pitch six or seven innings.
I don't think you can do that. Now, listen, because the last couple of series aside, and we'll get these calls. I know Mets fans are fired up. We'll get to them in a second. But I think that the way the Mets played for a while, we haven't really referenced the lab as much as we did when things were cooking nice and clean for you guys early. I can promise you this. The most basic checkpoint in their lab is understanding that somebody who's on pace for 172 innings, 172 is a little cavalier and I think way too reckless, and they obviously have to know that. I mean, if they're able to, you know, take some of these guys who are basically on the scrap heap and flip their careers around, you bet you're behind. They understand that this is dangerous when he threw 63 innings a year ago and he's on pace for 175, basically. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you can do that.
You can't do that. You cannot do that. So it's either shut him down, which I think they should do, go to a six-man rotation, which they very well might when they get
Manaea
and Senga back.
But how many would that save? Like, if we did the math on that.
I mean, off the top of my head, I think you shave off at least 35 to probably more. I would say 40 to 70. Very quick math there.
Well,
and you know what? But those 40 to 70 innings that you could apply in October, you know, I there's just no way you could roll him out there without interruption the rest of the season and have him pitch 175 innings. He'll be dead. He'll drop dead on the mound.
Remember the conversation with Luis Gil a year ago?
Yeah.
I think that is exactly what's going on here with Clay Holmes, aside from the fact that Holmes is converted from a bullpen arm. But with Gil last year, it was, oh, we were worried about the innings limit and keeping him fresh into the postseason. And the Yankees continued to say it was never about the innings. It was about how his body is holding up and responding.
Based on their analytics and the data, the RPMs. A lot of people think it is pitches, and you're right. That's smart bringing that up. So yeah, it's not.
That's what the Mets are going to do here when evaluating Holmes. There are going to be metrics that will determine whether they shut him down, whether they limit him. So I would assume right now those metrics are, hey, everything's fine.
I'm sure they're fine still.
But it could be fine until all of a sudden it's not.
Yeah.
And then by the time it's not, it's too late because you don't know how you recover from that.
And that's why, to me, you got to be proactive. And that's why if you sit around and you mess around, you might have a real issue with Clay Holmes. You can't let that happen.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Hillary's calling from Long Island. What's up, Hillary?
Good morning, guys. Hillary is the 11 under 500 fan from last year. Mm. Happy we're on where we are right now.
There you go.
My question to you guys, what do you think Lindor was saying to Alonso after he hit the home run and before Pete got up to bat? Just curious.
After
Lindor hit the home run and he came back from home and then Pete was going to go up to bat and they were like having a little chat.
Well, that's so always wondering, about that's always about pitch pattern. I mean, most hitters who care about being good, then they do that. Hey, what did you see? Which way did it break? That's just a baseball conversation. I don't think it was like, hey, come on, Petey, we could do it, buddy. You know, it's like, hey, this thing moved, this thing zipped, and he's got this, and look for that, and he's coming into you, it's going away from you, stuff like that.
And maybe it was like, that's why I'm an all-star, and Soto's not.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Soto.
I mean, he needs more
money. I mean, that's Soto, first thing out of his mouth. I got to get to that later. That actually bothered me. I can't derail it now. I know we're talking. Yeah, I heard that. I'm like, this is why he's a robot, and this is why he bounces around, that he's a great hitter. But that was a ridiculous statement Juan Soto made about the all-star money. Give me a break.
Brian is calling from Rochester. What's up, Brian?
Hey, bud.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I agree with you, man. If I'm, as a Mets fan, I want to be all in. And, you know, I'm not saying trade away the farm. There are a lot of pieces, you know, prospects that the Mets can trade and – but from the number five down in that lineup, and I know we have maybe the best four in baseball, arguably, but from five down, you have no idea from night to night what you're going to get. I mean, even with Jeff McNeil, there's games when he looks great, and then games like last night where he's swinging at the first pitch, it's out of the strike zone, grounding it out to second base, and that's five holes in the lineup from night to night that you don't know what you're going to get. And what if a game comes down to, you know, the Mets are a run down or they're fighting to come back late in the game, and you have the 7, 8, 9 guys coming up? I don't feel very confident that they're going to put a rally together. Mm-hmm. I mean, they need another bat. They need Suarez. They need Buxton. They need somebody like that in the lineup.
I obviously agree. That's what I'm saying. Thanks for the call there. I also do think you, and I think you said this or at least intimated this earlier, like, you can go around the other good teams in baseball, and they're not rolling out 3 All-Stars, 7, 8, 9. But to me, so I understand that part. The difference, though, is the fluctuations in Nimmo's game. Like, you know, what did Cohen tweet? The Fab Four, something like that. Give me a break. I mean, come on. Nimmo, this is 5 straight years where the on-base percentage has gone backwards. Now, when Brandon Nimmo was in the zone, Brandon Nimmo is doing damage. He's hitting bombs, and he's doing this, and he looks really good. But this is just proactively guarding against the intermittent ebbs and flows of baseball, where I don't think what's behind those guys is good enough to carry the for a pitching staff that I'm still a little worried about.
Yeah, I mean, if Nimmo's not hitting, but that's a problem with the top of the order, not the bottom of the order for me.
And but it becomes amplified, Sal, if the bottom of the order's not doing what I think they don't do.
But give me the 7, 8, 9 that give you confidence. Whoa, what if the game comes down? It's a one-run game, and it comes down to the 7, 8, 9 hitters. Guess what? You're screwed. You're screwed in that case, just like any other team would be in baseball. You don't let it come down to that. And if it does, you hope that one of those guys at the bottom of the order can get on. This is not Ray Ordonez here. Beatty can get some hit. Now, I don't think Beatty's going to be there long term. Mauricio, one or the other, pick somebody. Even McNeil, like, you'll live. I don't like Jeff McNeil as a player. I mean, I shouldn't say that. I like McNeil. I don't love him as much as Met fans do. And I think his inconsistencies and attitude have turned me off for years. So I would look to move on from McNeil. I think you could replace him. I'd rather Acuna and have the speed and defense, whatever. But McNeil's versatility has been proven valuable. He could put a bat on the ball. He could hit with a little pop if need be. Should be a high average guy. You're telling me you can't live with Jeff McNeil in the 7, 8, or 9 holes? Like, that's not bad.
I'm not saying that. What I am saying, though, is there's no DeGrom on the staff. There's no young Matt Harvey or Noah Syndergaard or Dwight Gooden and El Cid and Ron Darling. You don't have that on your staff. So to me, You really just have to mitigate risk here and understand that if the Mets are going to get to the World Series, in all probability, they're going to hit their way there. And I don't think you have enough offense from, you know, four or five down.
That's
the simplest way for me to say it.
I still think that the pitching you're dismissing here, even without their rotation intact, they've had the best ERA in all of baseball. Like, we could have a conversation whether it's sustainable or not. They have a great closer in Edwin Diaz, maybe the best in the game.
He's terrific. I'm not talking about Diaz. Diaz, stud.
So I think they'll build the bullpen out, which is going to be on par with the best in the game.
All right.
The rotation, okay, do they have the ace? No, they don't. But Senga, Minaya, and who knows what else they're going to do, you know, with that starting rotation. I'll take my chance with that. You're right. They were built to hit. But it's not like they have no pitching and they have to score 100 runs a game.
Understood. But again, the risk that I'm trying to circumvent here is, and hey, Minaya might come back in those 17 or 18 starts where he totally changed his windup. He's the same guy. And I hope he's healthy when he gets back and there's no more interruptions. I mean, he was really good when he figured things out and he messed around with his windup here. But there's no guarantee that he's that guy. I mean, everybody, Minaya's coming back. Ron Guidry's not coming back. I can't think of a good Met lefty outside of Elsa. Whatever. That's why I throw him out. Like Al Leiter, thank you very much, Hop. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I like Sean Minaya. He's got 17 starts of equity as a New York Met. And everybody's making it seem like the king, you know, with a 2.07 ERA and 7 All-Star berths and 2 Cy Youngs is coming back to Queens.
He was an ace last year.
He was an ace for half the season.
Okay,
but did he get hurt because he changed his entire windup?
I mean, he's got loose bodies in his elbow. That's a common thing.
I
mean,
I know, but it's not that common to change your entire approach midway through a season
when you're
a pro.
I don't know.
How many pitchers change their windups?
If he's healthy and... we can only assume that he's going to be because he's coming back. I would expect him to be what he was in the second half of last year.
I would, too, more than not.
And if he's not, I mean, that's a whole
different... But if he's not, it might be too late to make the move, which is what I'm saying. You guys got 2.5-3 weeks to get it done. Not 2.5 weeks. So I'd rather have Sal an abundance of riches and deal with that down the road, and then I could sit Clay Holmes, or I could do it, or, you know, if Marte never comes back, or if Winker's a stiff against lefties, whatever it might be, I am stacking up. I am loading up, and I'm going for it. And the Mets looked awesome last night. They've looked very good at points this year. Don't let it fool you. They got 3 or 4 dead spots in the lineup, and the staff's not as good as some people think.